Bing bong bang.
Hi.
Sir.
What jet airline?
Just got back from going on Daily Pop.
How was it?
Oh God, it was so nice to go outside the house for a second.
I bet.
I got dressed up.
You got to actually like go into a studio?
Yeah, I went to a studio. I had to get COVID tested. Then I went to a studio and they mic'd me up and they put in an in-ear and we talked about The Bachelor. Yeah, it was really nice. It was like, this is what it used to be like.
I know. That's kind of how I felt this weekend at the Super Bowl. Although the game, like they only had 25,000 people there. So what is that, like a quarter full or something? I don't know. It was eerily quiet, like the whole stadium. But I was just like, you know what though? Like, I'll take it. Like, it feels like we're back.
So were you like in the stands?
We were for a sec. So Miley performed. Guys, I don't know much about football and I don't know much about, I've never been to a Super Bowl. So just like bear with me. But apparently there's this thing called like the tailgate party that happens before. It's like a big thing.
People play it
every year.
You're telling me you're not familiar with tailgating right now.
I've never been to a tailgate.
How have you never been to a tailgate?
I don't know. I went to college for like a year, but I didn't go to any sporting events really. And I don't know. I just never did that. Do people do that in high school? I was always a cheerleader. So I just was like preparing for the game. I don't know.
Not in high school because you drink. But like in college, you drink, you tailgate out in the parking lot and you get wasted. Then you go in the game and then in college... And then afterwards, like, you never been to a Titans game and went to the tailgate?
No. Am I missing out?
Yeah, tailgating's awesome.
Well, okay, so that's what this technically was, I guess. It was like the tailgate party before the Super Bowl that Miley got to perform at.
Yeah.
And she performed for 7,500 healthcare workers that have, you know, been working on the front lines of all the coronavirus stuff. They've had their vaccine. But it was almost like a give back to the people that have just been working so hard, during this whole past year, which was really cool. And even though people had the vaccine, like everyone still wore masks and there was still some distancing, like everybody kind of had different sections. So it wasn't normal by any means, but like considering it's been a year and a half since I've been anywhere where there's a crowd of people, like it felt like we were kind of getting back to normal, which was encouraging. And it was cool to see everyone like be safe. Like people wore their masks. Like people weren't being stupid. It was really great. And Miley she was just so happy to be performing again. She has rehearsed for weeks and weeks and weeks for this set. It was 90 minutes. She played that aired also on TikTok, which was cool. And then I think they aired two songs on network television, but it was like a big set for her and it's been a while. So she's just really been working hard to prepare and had Billy Idol and Joan Jett come out and do feature songs with her, which was really freaking cool. And overall, like just super, super fun. And so once we did that, that was like right before the game started. And then she changed clothes and we took a second. And then after the game kicked off, like we had seats and they told us, it's a quarter full. You'll have like four tickets where four seats are together. And then they'll have like four seats empty, and then people with four. So there's four seats in between everybody. And they have these stupid cardboard cutouts and the empty seats so that on TV it looks like the stadium's full. It's insane. But we went and sat out there for about a quarter and a half until the halftime show. And what's crazy is like typically if Miley's gonna go somewhere, like they take her in like a side door or a back door. You don't walk out in the public to get to where you're going. But at the stadium, like there is no side door, I guess. Like you just, if you're gonna go, like you literally have to walk in the same door everybody else does and go to your seat. So the group of us, there were 12 of us total, Billy Idol was with us and his team, were like walking through the stadium. And I'm like, thank God it was only a quarter full, because if it had been a full stadium, there's no way we would have ever made it to our seats. But we're walking. And it was like a long walk. We had to walk around like half the stadium to get to where we were going. And you could just see people that they're like, they look at her as she walks by and you see it registers that it's her. But I think they're so stunned that she's just walking through the stadium with Billy Idol that like no one knows what to do. Like I think one guy literally dropped his hot dog when he saw her. It's just kind of like, wait, Miley Cyrus is walking through the stadium right now, like alone. Like what? It was so funny. But then we did sit down and it was nice. Like we had great seats right on the 50-yard line. So like my one and only football game, like couldn't have asked for a better seat. And it was quiet, right? I mean, it's not full. So like the crowd was quiet. But other than that, it felt like the real deal.
Miley got to experience normal life for just a second.
She really did.
When we went to the Super Bowl a couple years back, yeah, there is no like VIP at the Super Bowl. If you've gotten to the Super Bowl, that's the hard ticket to get. You're not sitting in some skybox. When we were there, you know, Sarah and I were just in the stands, and then four rows above us was Ty Burrell, who's even more famous than Sarah. Phil Dunphy's right up there. You can't go hide. So I think that's kind of cool.
Diplo was in town. He DJed, I think, one night over the weekend, and he walked by like right in front of us or whatnot. And like Diplo is one of those guys that I think he can probably walk around and not get like super recognized, because when he's not on stage, he actually just looks like a normal guy.
Yeah.
And so he walked up and like brought us drinks and stuff. And I was like, why is nobody freaking out that it's Diplo? Cause I was kind of freaking out. But yeah, it was just super cool and like laid back, and everybody just had a really good time. And go Bucks. Bucks won. That was crazy. Yeah. Oh, we got to talk halftime show.
Yeah. Did you like it or not?
Okay. So here's the thing. Something like a halftime show is meant for television, right? Like it's not meant for the people in the stadium. So for us, like we couldn't really see him. A lot of the performance, he was like up on the side, like in the stands, kind of on the far left side, like under the big Megatron screen. And so he was really far away from us. And then at the very end, during blinding lights, they come out onto the field. That part was cool. Once he got onto the field, what?
Megatron is a transformer. Jumbotron.
That's what I was thinking. Jumbotron, that one. And the only reason I even know the term Jumbotron is because of Friday Night Lights. Thank you very much. But anyway, so once he came out onto the field, huh?
But you didn't know the term.
I just said it wrong, but I did know it.
Okay, keep going. I'm sorry.
Mega Jumbo, same friggin' thing, okay? The performance in person was not very impressive, and even the sound in the stadium is just, like, tough. It's just not meant for that, you know what I mean? But I think on television, it probably looked pretty freaking cool. And I did love the end when all the dancers came out onto the field and we could see on the screen what it probably looked like for you guys on TV. And it looked sick.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was cool and I thought it was different. I heard that he put $7 million of his own money into it. A lot of people don't know this. You don't get paid to do the Super Bowl, which is crazy, but you get it back like on record sales, I guess. It looked like he employed nothing but people of color to do the show with him, which I think was a cool thing. It was the one part where he's kind of like running around kind of lost in like,
oh yeah,
that part. I was like, what's happening?
Yeah, but the best thing to come out of the entire Super Bowl are all the memes of him during that part of the performance.
Yeah.
They started coming in and I was like, oh, this is good. This is good. All these memes.
I just can't believe that Tom Brady won again.
I can.
I know, but like, I put $100 on the Chiefs. That was a bad call, by the way. I thought for sure the Chiefs are going to win. Did you know Tom Brady has never had coffee?
What?
He has never had coffee. He doesn't eat any sugar. I mean, if these are the things that you have to do to win 7 Super Bowls, I don't want it.
Yeah, me neither. I love coffee.
He's never had a good coffee shit.
Dang.
No wonder he looks like that. He's he's never just had an explosive coffee shit. Of course he's got no fucking wrinkles. He doesn't know stress. He doesn't know stress of having a cup of coffee and not being close to a bathroom. No wonder he looks so great. Well, I think that's pretty cool that you got to go to the Super Bowl, especially that one, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it was cool. And it was nice. I hadn't seen my sister in a couple of months. So, I don't know, it was nice for her and my mom and I to be down there and, like, doing it all together. It was super cool. And for me, like, so I went down there just thinking I was going to hang and support Miley. And I got down there and got asked to DJ a couple of nights on someone's yacht. It was like a private party.
Oh, wow.
Super low key, only like 30 or 40 people. Because, you know, I didn't want to do anything that was too, like, too much of a COVID risk, just because I have to be super careful being around my mom and stuff. So it was nice, like, to actually, like, be working again. Like, I hadn't really, like, touched DJ decks in months since the summer to actually get to play. So I don't know, like, the whole weekend was just very encouraging to feel like we're going in the right direction. Life is going to carry on. And it was good. It was a good vibe.
Nice.
Yeah.
I went and did Daily Pomp today, and I was talking to my good buddy, Justin Sylvester, whom I love and I've done like a bunch of red carpet stuff with. He was like, let's hang out. And I was like, listen, man, you know, my fiance is immunocompromised. He's like, dude, I get tested 3 days a week because of the show and I've been vaccinated. And I was like, how are you vaccinated? You're younger than I am. You're in better shape than I am. Not that saying much. I was like, what's going on? And he goes, dude, I went and waited in line for 3.5 hours. And did you know that like before the clinics close, if they've got any extra, then you can get the vaccine. Let me tell you what your boy's going to be doing later tonight. I'm going to be getting myself a nice audiobook. I'm going to sit outside a clinic and your boy, tonight? Either doing it tonight or tomorrow night. Because guess what? I'm getting a vaccine. I'm tired of it. I want to live my life. Getting the vaccine early, bitches.
Oh, wow. Okay, so someone told us this weekend also, because my mom really wants it. And that's what they said. They said, like, you know, they're giving the vaccine to everyone. What is the age? Like, I forget. It's like,
I don't know.
65 and older or something. Yeah. Is like who can get it right now. But what happens is like these clinics that are doing them, I guess at the end of the day, once all the 65 plus people have gotten the vaccine, if they have any extras, they have to throw them away.
Yeah, I know.
So there's just like all the, yeah. So I guess like, yeah, you can go try to get one that they're just going to toss.
And here's my thing. I can see a lot of people coming at me being like, you're young. You shouldn't be doing that.
But they're throwing them away.
Exactly. To be honest with you, I think that the young, patient, really out of work people should be doing this. I got nothing going on, and if you're going to throw it away, then I'm going to get a vaccine, and then I can't get you sick. I don't know, but I'm fucking getting this. I'm telling you to do it. I'm doing it because we've been waiting for Sarah's like number to get called, and she's not getting called anytime soon. And I'm hoping to be able to piggyback on that because I'm like her caretaker. You know, I go and get her groceries, and you know, I do all the dangerous stuff outside. Sister Ann, I'm going to be sitting in a line. I'm going to fucking Instagram the whole thing, just waiting to get a shot.
You should take Tish with you. She really wants to do it.
Oh, man. 3.5 hours of just Tish and I? God.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We need to start the show. We haven't done that yet. Yeah. So.
Okay. I think it's you.
You know, I was thinking about this on my run the other day. Is it... Is it Bros and Hoes, you're listening to Your Favorite Thing podcast with Wells and Brandy, or is it Bros and Hoes, it's time for Your Favorite Thing podcast with Wells and Brandy?
It's you're listening to. It's definitely not it's time.
Okay. Bros and Hoes, you're listening to Your Favorite Thing podcast with?
Wells and a very confused Wells and Brandy.
I know. All right, guys. Bowl and Branch. Yep. They're making the dreamiest bedding for your spring refresh, and it's all, this is the best part, 20% off. That's their best sale of the entire season. You'll sleep better right away with their buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. And they're made with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton, and they're yours to try with their 30-night worry-free guarantee. If you don't like it, you can send it back because Boll & Branch is amazing.
Boll & Branch is loved by millions of sleepers and they have over 11,000 reviews. Plus, they're made without toxins, so they're free from synthetic pesticides, formaldehyde, and other harsh chemicals that are terrible for you. Plus, they fit the deepest of mattresses. So if you're like me and you have that like pillow top, cloud top, deep mattress, they totally fit, no problem.
Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Boll & Branch during their best sale of the entire season. Get 20% off your order when you use promo code FAVORITE at BollAndBranch.com.
That's Boll & Branch, BollAndBranch.com. Promo code favorite. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
So do you want to talk Batch?
I have to. I loved the episode.
I mean, I loved MJ. MJ just being like, well, if it isn't consequences for my very own actions coming back to bite me in the ass.
Why'd you call her LC? That's a different show.
Sorry.
All the drama was so good this week, I feel.
I know, but here's my thing. And maybe this is because I'm a Bachelor purist, but like, I'm over it now. Now that Victoria's gone, now that Anna's gone, now that MJ's gone, don't care. And you got rid of my shining light on the hill with Katie? Over it.
Well, we got to talk about that.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I do think they're setting her up for Bachelorette potential.
Well, I saw like a spoiler that people are saying that that's true, and like Daily Pop, they were asking me today. They're like, "Is that true?" And I was like, "The big spoiler guy, he got all of my shit wrong." So, who really knows? But
yeah,
she does look real good.
They haven't had a connection really this whole time, but yeah, she got a one-on-one. I don't know, like, if they would have really made it a point to give her an actual one-on-one unless they were gonna think about setting her up for something else good.
I don't know, but I will say this. And if you saw my Instagram stories, there's a lot of parallels between Katie and I, okay?
That's true. That's true.
Because I don't know if you remember, but I was the voice of reason. I was like level-headed, but also brought the comedy. And then I was kicked off on a one-on-one, and it was eighth place. And guess what? One-on-one, eighth place. Now she's the Bachelorette. Or maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see. I do think it's a great theory. And I like Katie. I think she'd make a great Bachelorette.
She'll be a lot like Hannah Brown. She seems like she's very, like, opinionated, not taking any shit from anybody, very smart. So
she almost reminds me, I was thinking more of, like, a Caitlin Bristow type.
I don't know if she's as funny as Caitlin is.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
The Tyler C. shit.
It was so good.
First of all, my boy's so much more excited to see Tyler C. than he is to see any of those chicks ever.
100%. 100%.
Like, just give Tyler freaking rose already, bro. I don't know how much if Tyler was in on it. And to be honest with you, I don't think he was in on it at all. When she was like, "So what are you doing in Farmington or wherever, you know?" And he was like, "My boy's the Bachelor." Like, didn't hesitate to drop that knowledge on that chick.
Oh, yeah, not at all.
"Oh, I'm famous. Didn't you know? My boy's the Bachelor. Oh, no one told you? Everyone wanted me to be the Bachelor, and I turned it down, and I've got so much power that I gave it to my friend randomly enough, and yeah, now I'm here." My other thing was is that when she was like, "Rub his nipples," oh my god, where'd he get a fucking ABC rub and tug on TV? And you know my boy was sporting a chub, because ain't nobody ever had their nips rubbed that didn't get a chub, all right? He was at least flying half-mast, and I wanted him to pan down and black box that thing.
They should have. They should have. I just kept being like, okay, if this were me, like, at what point do you get up and leave? Like, he just wasn't, nothing cracked him. Like, I thought for sure when she's on the phone, I'm massaging Tyler from The Bachelor. Like, I thought for sure he would just get up and leave. And he looked up, but that was it. He was like, well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure this is now what he thinks is normal life, you know? I was waiting for him to be like, "Give me the phone, I'll FaceTime with her and make her day." Like, you know? As much as I loved that Tyler definitely got a happy ending on national television, Heather showing up is one of the fucking weirdest things that's ever happened on that show.
Is she just, like, kind of strange? Like, she just...
I don't know. I've never met her. The thing that everyone thinks is that happened was that producers planned this. And from what I understand, not the case. She read where the show was being filmed, or like someone, like maybe Hannah Brown told her where it was being filmed. She booked her own flight, rented her very own Dodge Caravan, and fucking drove there. And I think everyone was like, "What are you doing?" Like Chris coming out being like, "You can't come in here. First of all, like, we have a bubble. Like, you need to be fucking quarantined." So it looked like they put her in, like, some hotel, like, some motel, like, not in Nemecolon. Oh, it's like, dude, what do you think's gonna happen? I hate to say this, but it's when the tummy tea ads stop a-coming, you start making some bad plays, and one of them
seriously
is renting a Dodge Caravan trying to get on a show.
Why did she rent a minivan?
I don't know, dude.
Oh my god. I do feel like they gave her a little too much airtime this week. Like, leading up to, like, I didn't really need to see her goofing off in her hotel room because she was losing her mind. Although I don't think she was losing her mind. I think that's who she is, probably.
Yeah.
Because she just seems quirky. She really shocked me when she finally does get to go into the house. Like, She doesn't even say hi to the girls. No. I kind of thought she'd be the kind of girl, like girls girl that would walk in and try to be sweet to the girls and whatever. But she doesn't even give them the time of freaking day.
Yeah. Remember when we were all complaining that I got cut out of the episode and Ben got cut out of the episode and like it seemed like they tried to put too much in that episode. And I was like, something must happen. And so thanks, Heather, for cutting Ben and I out of an episode because you wanted 15 more minutes.
Yeah. Well, and Tyler is the one that got all the airtime.
And I think even he got cut out a lot. I mean, they played that fun game, but that was part of the date.
Right.
The more I watch it, the more I don't think he's going to end up with anybody.
Really?
Yeah, I'm starting to lean towards that. I mean, I think that Rachel's still my front runner, but I don't even know if he's got a super... I mean, he did tell her he was falling for her, too. I don't know, man. Engagement's a, it's a heavy thing to do.
Yeah. Talking about feelings, Ryan, she was just so upset before she even knew she was going home. Like, before that rose ceremony, she was like, freaking out. I mean, talk about getting feelings quickly. She's barely been there 2 weeks.
I know. We were watching it, and I was like, who is this person? Sarah was like, oh, she came in, like, last week. And I was like, oh, okay. Why are you freaking out, lady?
No one-on-one, no airtime, and she is freaking.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
Is that enough Bachelor stuff?
I think so.
I think we covered most of it. I did, my favorite screw-up was someone was like, well, there's no rose on the placket. I was like, placket? The fuck's a placket? We looked it up. A placket is something to do with a skirt. I think she meant placard, which would still be incorrect. Bitch, just say plate.
Tray?
Just say plate. Just say plate or tray. Don't try to church up trays, you know? Oh. God. Anyways, all right.
Too good.
Too good. You want to do some fave things, bro?
Yeah, bro. I feel like it's maybe a chick show, so you're probably maybe not going to watch it. But have you seen Firefly Lane on Netflix?
Well, I saw it because I was hoping that someone had made the sci-fi Western Firefly again that I was talking about as fan fiction book recently. And it's not. It's fucking something different. And I was very upset.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of a chick flick, probably. I've had a lot of YFTers message me even before I knew this was out and saying I needed to watch this, but it's adapted from a book by Kristen Hanna, who's like, she's a massive author, like massive, like women's fiction, like romance novelist, I think. But what also caught my eye is it's starring Katherine Heigl, who we love from Grey's. And she like has a totally different look in this show, which I love. Her hair is like dark, dark brown. And she definitely like she's, you know, a little older than we're used to seeing her look, but I love her in this. I think she does a great job. And I watched 2 episodes with my mom while we were in Tampa, and you really have to get through the first one to really like understand, I think, what's going on and like the time, who everyone is. It's like the first episode is just a tad bit confusing, but if you push through and get to episode 2 and you start to get the lay of the land on like who everybody is, and they do flashbacks to when they're kids and stuff, then I think it gets really good.
So what's it about?
So based off of this book by Kristen Hanna, it follows 2 best friends from their first meeting through the following 30 years of their lives and all of the ups and downs along the way. So the 2 main characters are Tully and Kate, and they're like complete opposites. Kate is like the nerd, right? Like she comes from like a super normal, loving family, lives with both parents or whatnot, wears huge glasses, just like total nerd. And then Tully is like tall, beautiful. Her mom is a whack job, drug addicted, absentee mom and kind of thing. And like in the first episode, you kind of learn like her grandmother raised her for a minute, and then her mom comes in when she's 14 or 15 and decides she's going to come live with her. So her life is just like a complete wreck, but they're neighbors. Like Tully moves in across the street from Kate when they're in high school, and they ride the bus to school together and everything, and where like they really have nothing in common. They end up becoming friends. And so you see like they're that you see flashbacks of when they're kids. And then most of the show is the now where, they're in their 30s, like late 30s, and, Tully ends up being super famous. She's on television. Kate works in the industry as well. She's like an editor, wants to be an editor, and Tully's like helping her get a job. And so, the first two episodes are really, it's really just, it's about their friendship, their lives from childhood to adulthood. And I mean, like I said, I'm only two episodes in, so I don't know about, you know, the conflict and the drama that's going to ensue, but I love the characters. I love the actors, and I think it's going to be a really good show.
It's not as good as the original show Firefly starring Nathan Fillion, but whatever. It's fine. Well, that sounds cool. Have you heard of The Head?
No.
It's not what you think it is. Doing some mouth.
What do I think it is?
Mouth deep dicking, I assume.
I did not think that.
Blowies. One bit. Beeges. You know? It's not that.
Nope.
It's not about giving head. Okay?
I'd be worried if it was and it was your favorite thing.
It's on HBO Max, which I have really pivoted over to as of late because
I see.
I feel like I've just gone through Netflix.
Yeah.
Here's what the show is. It's not about blowies. Winter has fallen on the South Pole. A small team known as Winterers will remain at the Polaris 6 Antarctic Research Station to continue their innovative research, a crucial part in the fight against climate change. The Head.
Sounds great.
Bunch of fucking scientists living in the South Pole.
Mm-hmm.
Half the year, it's sunny there. And the other half, it's just pitch black. So it mm-hmm. starts out right on the verge of the switchover. And they've had a bunch of people at the Polaris research station that were there during the daylight 6 months. And now they're leaving and they're being replaced, or people are staying on to do the next 6 months in the dark. Okay. So they're having like this big party. It's like kind of like going away thing. It's kind of cool. And then everyone leaves and then it becomes dark and there's just a handful of people there left. And then my friends, it turns into a dumpster fire, shit show, murder fest. Everyone ends up dead for some reason. You're trying to figure out what's happening. Who's killing what? These people? Is it aliens from under the ice? No. Is it someone from the research center? Is it because people are getting this thing called T3, which is like when you lose your mind because you're like not seeing any light? What's happening? What's the motives? It's a whodunit. And
mm-hmm.
it's pretty great. I will say this. I want you to watch it. I think you would like it. I want you to watch it. And I want to know if you figured out who it was. I will say this. Sarah usually gets it pretty right, but she fucking nailed this one. Like halfway through, wow. She had her theory, and I was like, I like that theory, and she killed it. So anyways.
So this is a show, right? Not a movie?
Yeah, it's a 7-episode or 8-episode show on HBO Max.
Okay. All right. Sounds great.
Check it out. The Head, not to be confused with Giving Head.
No one else thought that except you.
Okay, so I've been kind of like holding off on telling you guys that I watched this, but it's just whatever. Dark times, guys, and there's just not a whole lot of entertainment, and I did it, okay? And is it YA? Yes. Is it about fairies? Yes. Am I ashamed of that? Maybe, a little bit. Did I love it? Absolutely. There's a show on Netflix called Fate, the Winx Saga.
What?
Fate, the Winx Saga, that is not bad. So it's
concerned.
So it's kind of like Harry Potter.
Okay.
But instead of wizards, all these kids are fairies.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize saying it out loud, it still sounds terrible. Here's the tag. A live action adaptation of Nickelodeon's Winx Club. It follows Bloom as she adjusts to life in the other world, where she must learn to control her dangerous magical powers. Fate, the Winx Saga on Netflix for children. Mm. But a 36-year-old is suggesting it to his podcast listeners. Listen, it's YA. It's like, if you ever watch a
is
show.
Is it YA or is it like children?
No, it's YA because it's like high school. Yeah, so if you ever watched the show The Magicians, I love The Magicians, and my friend Trevor's in it. It's very much like that, but instead of magicians, they're fairies, but they have powers, you know? Like, and there's all different types of fairies. There's different sects. There's forest fairies and, like, water fairies and whatever. So, yeah, if you're into, like, some magical shit, Fate, the Winx Saga is not terrible, is all I'm saying.
It's not a very good endorsement.
I liked it.
I think you liked it more than you're letting on, too, which scares me.
It is what it is, all right? We're just running out of stuff. By the way, I finished Messiah. Did you ever watch Messiah?
No, I haven't started it yet.
Oh, God. Can you watch it? I want you to watch it so we can talk about the ending of it.
Okay. I'm going to start it today.
And then the other one that I wanted you to watch, oh, The Little Things. Did you ever watch that?
No. What?
Denzel Washington, watch Jared Leto. Oh,
okay. That's the movie. It's a movie, though, right?
Yeah.
Or no?
Yeah. You don't watch any of my suggestions.
I don't have any time.
Oh, my God.
I forget who it was like, how does Wells have so much time to watch all of this TV? And I was like, must be freaking nice. I don't know.
Because I'm dedicated to this podcast, Brandy. I want it to work.
Or you just have nothing else going on.
I got to put in the time, guys. I'm doing this for you guys and for you, sure. Brandy.
Uh-huh.
Okay, do you want to go to books?
Yeah.
Okay, what book you got?
So, we really should have had him on the podcast. Our good friend, Ben Higgins, finally released his book that I've been hearing him talk about for years. And I'm so excited to start it. So, Ben sent me this. Wells, I'm sure you got it too.
Right? Of course.
So, he is going to be on Sorry We're Stoned tomorrow. So, if you guys do want to hear from Ben, want to hear him talk about the process of writing his book and kind of the story behind it, you can go listen to Sorry We're Stoned tomorrow, and he's on there. But I remember Ben telling me he was going to write a book. Yes, like I know Ben from The Bachelor, but I really know Ben because he and I have been to Honduras together with the nonprofit Humanity and Hope that we're both super involved in. But he is way more heavily involved than I and actually started a for-profit business called Generous Coffee that is partnered with Humanity and Hope in the sense that the profits go back to the villages in Honduras that we work with there and they buy their coffee from farmers in Honduras. So it's all connected. And so like, that's the Ben I know. I've heard Ben just talk so much about writing this book and the struggles that he had writing it. I think Ben's the kind of person that wants it to be perfect. And he just wants so badly, you know, for people to love what he does. And, you know, we talk tomorrow on the podcast just about like how tough it is to read, you know, nasty comments online. Like that's just so hurtful. And so I know there was a lot of pressure for him to write something that people really loved and did connect with. So I'm excited about this. It's nonfiction. The title of it is Alone in Plain Sight, Searching for Connection. I think right now, especially too, like just with the past year and a half of isolation, like everyone during the pandemic, like having to isolate at home and quarantine at home. And a lot of us have been alone or not around many people at all for the past year and a half. And you do start to feel that isolation and that like loss of connection with other people. And that's just such a huge part of life. Like to me, connecting with other people is really what life is all about. You know, at the end of the day, like, yeah, our work is great, especially if we love it, but it's not what life's about. And yeah, the achievements and the money is cool, but like, it's not what life's about. It's about connecting with people. He's got a lot of really cool endorsements on the back of it as well. I know he's a big fan of Bob Goff, and I love Bob Goff. If you don't know who he is, he has an amazing book called Love Does. So to see Bob endorse Ben's book on the back, I know that's super cool for him. And I'm just really excited to crack into it. So I'm sure I'll have it read in the next couple of weeks and you can tell you guys what I thought about it. But I love Ben, and I know this book's going to be amazing.
Love me some Benjamin Higgins. Speaking of, I've been invited to his bachelor party.
Oh, that's exciting. Where are you going?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say in that information, but I'm going to come out with part two, and it's just going to be tales from his bachelor party. And
poor Ben.
I'm reading a book that is on Reese Witherspoon's, you know, must-read list, which so I feel like she's hit and miss. Because a lot of her stuff, she's bought the rights for, so she's promoting stuff that she thinks is going to be a good TV show, which smart. This one's called The Sanatorium. I think it's a New York Times bestseller. Here's what Reese said about it. An eerie, atmospheric novel that had me completely on the edge of my seat. The tag is, you won't want to leave until you can't.
Ooh.
half hidden by forest and overshadowed by threatening peaks. Les Sommets has always been a sinister place, long plagued by troubling rumors. The former abandoned sanatorium has since been renovated into a 5-star minimalist hotel. An imposing isolated getaway spot high up in the Swiss Alps is the last place Elin Warner wants to be. But Elin's taken time off from her job as a detective, so when her estranged brother Isaac and his fiancée Lori invite her to celebrate their engagement at the hotel, Elin really has no reason not to accept. Arriving in the midst of a threatening storm, Elin immediately feels on the edge. There's something about the hotel that makes her nervous. And when they wake the following morning to discover Lauren is missing, Elin must trust her instincts if they hope to find her. With the storm closing off all access to the hotel, the longer Lori stays missing, the more the remaining guests start to panic. The sanatorium.
So anyways, I'm like pretty early in, but it does seem pretty interesting and kind of creepy. So I'll tell you about it later.
Okay, great. It sounds good.
It's got like a little bit of the Shining vibe, you know? It's like,
yeah.
I don't know if this is my favorite thing or not yet, but your boy got into some air frying.
Oh boy.
That's right. Air, beware. You're about to get a ride by your boy. All right. Gonna be killing
Can
a bunch
explain
of air.
Explain this to me. This, what is air frying exactly?
So I think it's a fancy way of saying convection oven, which is a fancy way of saying oven that has a fan in it. So basically what it does is it just circulates hot air around it. So it's like just hanging out in Palm Springs, I suppose.
Hmm.
And it's supposed to be like super easy to cook stuff in, and four things in, I've burned a lot of stuff. But
really?
Yes, but we did buy a bunch of cookbooks because we're air fryer years old. Here's the thing. This is how you know you're getting old. I was like watching a lot of infomercials about air fryers. I was like interested in like, I was seeing potential in becoming an air fryer guy. I pulled the trigger on one, and now I'm fucking up everything that goes into my air fryer. And I don't know if I'm doing it wrong or if I'm like not timing it out right, but we got some cookbooks and I'm air fryer years old. When you get to your mid 30s, this is what you talk about. No more is it Molly and fucking partying out and like sleeping around and like, you know, it's, hey man, what should we put in the air fryer tonight? I'm air fryer years old, and that's where we are. All right.
Yikes. Well, I have a convection oven. Is it really the same thing?
Yeah, then you got an air fryer, bro.
Oh, sickening.
If you have like a normal oven that has a convection setting?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's air fryer. That's an air fryer, just so you know.
Tight.
Yeah. I will say I do like the toast option.
Oh, what's that do?
So you're just like, well, you can choose what shade you want.
What?
That's right.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah. My last thing is, have you ever gone to the grocery store and like someone's ahead of you and they're just kind of like, you don't want to, you can't pass them. They're just kind of in the way, and then you kind of wait for a while, and then eventually they turn around. They're like, oh, sorry, I'm in your way. And you're like, yeah, fucking move. And then they move and then you go around them, and then somehow they figured out a way like pull their cart like directly to where you are going, and then you get stopped again. And you're just like, what are you doing? Just get the fuck out of my way. And like, they're always just kind of like on your shit, and you're just like, first of all, it's pandemic. Fucking back up at least 6 feet. Also, how do you figure out exactly where I'm going to be? And then you go there and you block me again. I hate you so much.
Yeah. I run into this problem in the airport, I feel.
Yes.
I just flew home, so it's like very fresh.
It's people that like aren't paying attention.
Yeah, to where they're going. Like, I can't stand when people aren't looking where they're going. Like when they're walking somewhere, or especially like I'm a very fast walker.
Yeah.
So if someone's walking in front of me slowly and they're taking up the whole freaking space to where I can't walk around them, like that drives me freaking crazy.
Oh my God. How about when you're
when they stop in the middle of like a moving.
Yeah.
With just, I said with luggage, they just stop and they just like stop track. And I'm just like, are you freaking kidding me right now?
Yeah. Exactly. I was thinking the same thing. Everyone's walking, flow of traffic. All right. And then, and then all of a sudden they look at their fucking phone and it makes them stop. And then you fucking almost run into them because they're stupid. Dude, if you're going to look at your phone and you stop, look around first. Figure out who's around you. So you don't nail somebody. We got to get a name for them.
Inconsiderate. That's what I call it.
You have no sympathy for my space. No empathy for my shit. I hate you.
Uh-huh.
You got anything else?
I got some Muzak.
What Muzaks do you got?
So I feel like we were just the other day, or the other week, I should say, talking about my friends. You know them too. They're from Nashville in a band called the St. Johns. Were we talking about them recently?
Yeah.
Love, love, love the St. Johns. And they, I think, took a long break for a while. I know that Jordan was doing like a side project of her own called Sad Penny. And so I think they've just now started to put out new stuff for the St. Johns. And it's been a while, but they have a new single called Outside Looking In. And I'm just such a massive fan of them. Like, I don't understand how they didn't blow up the minute they became a thing, because they're just so talented. Feels like I'm older now. Still I'm conflicted.
That's good.
They're so good. And I know live music isn't happening right now, but when it comes back, if you guys ever get a chance to see the St. John's live, they're just so good live. Joe, like, she like plays electric guitar. She's so badass. Their harmonies are spot on every time. And they had an album out in 2016 called Dead of Night that I love every song on the album. So go check out the St. John's.
All right.
You love Ben Howard, right?
Yes. I saw that Ben Howard's got new stuff out.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I love Ben Howard and I will be a Ben Howard fan for life. But he put out a record that was not my favorite, I'll say.
Agreed.
His last album. I was just like, you know, I love you, Ben Howard, but like, this one's not my fave.
Yeah.
But this song popped up on my release radar called Crowhurst Meme.
Yeah.
And it's actually a cool vibe. His voice is everything. When I wake up, arms around you, when I wake up, I'm a long way up. Terribly sorry, I'm not quite right.
Yeah, I heard that the other day on my run, and I don't hate it, but not to be this guy, I really like old Ben Howard stuff.
I know. I do, too. But I did, at least, I would, like, listen to that while I'm driving. It's good driving music.
Yeah. I've played this song before. It's a Shovels and Rope tune, but they put out an acoustic version, and I'm, like, obsessed with it. It's, like, one of those that, like, I hear it, and I just keep on playing it on repeat, and then, like, go learn the guitar like a dork. It's just such, like, lyrically, it's just so great. Anyways, yeah, it's Shovels and Rope. The song's called Mississippi Nothing.
Remember when we used to wear each other's clothes? Yeah, I've been struggling, but I know lots of things, and I got an idea that's gonna turn on the money hose. Choking on a joke, try to keep it light. I could never quite get the timing right. But you never know how it feels. I got ideas. Ooh. No one knows. Watched you on TV at the recovery.
Love the song. It's so good.
It's a very Wells Adams track.
Thank you. I don't know if it was a compliment or not, but. All right. You got anything else?
I think that's it.
Is that it?
I think.
All right.
I feel like there was a lot. Like there's a lot we unpacked there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I miss ya.
Miss you too. I think.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about coming out to LA in March to see my mom.
Come on. I'm going to be vaccinated by then. I'm going to the fuck. I'm getting the leftovers. I'm getting the leftover vaccines, baby.
I can't wait to hear all about that. Also,
yeah.
What are we doing? Do you know that you're coming on Sorry We're Stoned next week?
Oh, yeah, I am.
Very
also,
excited.
Fuck you guys. You had Ben Higgins on before you had me on?
Okay, like, but come on. Wells and Ben back to back. Sorry, we're starting episodes. Like, we're doing it right.
Yeah.
We are doing something right if we've got Wells and Ben back to back. So here's the deal with Sorry, We're Stoned. So I don't think Wells listens to my other podcast, so I'll let him know now that we have this segment called Dear MT, where people call in and leave a voicemail asking a question for my mom or me to kind of give advice or input on. Can be anything, relationship advice, interior design questions. Tish loves to give interior design advice, really anything at all. So because we're announcing a week early that Wells is going to be on, we're going to also open up the questions for Wells. So if you have a question for Dear MT / Wellsy this week, you can call into this number, leave a message, and we'll play it live on the podcast for us to answer. The number is 818-839-0534. And I think that only works if you're in the U.S. So if you're in Canada or international, you can go to the Sorry We're Stoned Instagram account and send us like a voice memo in our DMs, and we'll play it there.
Okay. Wow.
Cool, huh? We're fancy over at Sorry We're Stoned.
Wow. Real actual segment bits. Love it.
Yeah. We've got Dear MT, we've got baked goods, which are Tizzle's favorite, mostly Amazon purchases, but anything she buys when she's high.
Yeah.
We've got Munchy Moment, where we talk about what we like to eat when Tish is high, basically. Real fun stuff over there.
All right. I'm into it. I can't wait.
All right. Well, how exciting. Double Wells next week.
All right, Brandi. Well, I'll see you in a couple of days on Sorry We're Stoned.
You will.
Love you guys. Be good.
Bye-bye. I got nothing to do but tell you how I feel. I got a
This podcast has been brought to you by Podcast Nation.